Well, hello, parents. I pray that y'all are all doing well. This is Pastor Scott. I am the family and missions pastor here at South River Baptist Church. And I have the opportunity to be able to teach a parenting class. And we are currently on week number 4. Week 1, we would have done a class on that of digital dangers. And then we would have went from digital dangers to an introduction on talking about how there's different stages in parenting, and that was the process that we were going to follow, that according to God's Word. So as we looked at it, we looked at a caregiver stage, and that was broke down in 2 weeks. And so I encourage you, if you didn't get that, go back, grab those caregiver stages. There was 0 to 2 and then 3 to 5. And in that, I'm reminded as I went and watched the video, you can go watch it as well. It's by Dr. Jordan Peterson. He would remind us that those 0 to 5 years, there's a lot that goes on in the developmenting of the brain of that of the child. And that at that time, it is the peak experience for their lives. And so we have to be careful that they are able to allow to experience things such as maybe falling as they're trying to walk, or learning how to, as a 5-year-old, just learning those small things in life, as we talked about when it comes to having rhythms and things of that nature set in place. Also appreciated what Dr. Peterson had said when he talked about that 0 to 5 stage is much like that of the stage of the elderly. And as you're a caretaker for the elderly, he said, it's important that you only do so much for them, that if there's stuff that they can still do for themselves, let them do for themselves. Although we want to help them do that, and that's just by nature, we want to help, but really we're hurting more than we're helping by allowing them to continue to do the things that they're capable of doing as a senior adult. We were able to look during those 2 stages, 0 to 3 and or 0 to 2 and 3 to 5, 2 passages of scripture. We would have looked at Isaiah 40, verse 11, and we would have been reminded, just as the Father is a good shepherd, the Father is a good caregiver, we should mirror our lives after that of the Father. That is, if we're believers, if we're parents that are Christians, so we mirror that of the caregiver after that of the good Father, our Heavenly Father. And so then we looked at Proverbs 29:17, and we talked about that of discipline and how that those ages of 3 to 5, that's really when you begin to set those boundaries. You really begin to set that structure up into the child's life. And discipline is important during those times. That's when they begin to push. To push the boundaries. And we'll see that even greater in this next stage. So really, to sum up weeks 2 and 3, we walked through the caregiver stage, where the focus was nurturing and foundational discipline. The disciplines of a good routine in feeding, a discipline in that of good nap times, a set bedtime, really just getting those things set in place. And parents are acting as shepherds during this time. We're feeding, we're gathering, we're carrying, and we're gently leading. And so now we transition now into the COP stage, the season where parents, they enforce boundaries, they uphold structure, and they teach children that authority is for their protection, not for their punishment. And the goal is not to control them, but the goal is character. We're building them. We're growing that character within that 6 to 10-year-old. I'm reminded as we go back to talk about how this authority is for protection and not punishment. I remember a story of a deputy telling me that, he grows tired of every time he goes into a restaurant that he gets to be the bad guy. And that is, you'll hear a parent say, hey, if you keep acting up, we're going to call him over here and set you straight. And really, in all honesty, those men and women there that are wearing the uniform, they're there for our protection. There's time when punishment must take place. But if all we ever do is point them out or paint them in to being that of the bad guy, then we've really done a disservice for teaching them what authority is within their lives. And our key thought is this, and I'm going to hit one statement here twice. In the caregiver stage, love builds trust. I'm going to say it again. In the caregiver stage, love builds trust. And so you're building that trust from that 0 to 5-year-old age. You're putting those foundational blocks into that place. And then what happens is in the cop stage, the authority builds respect. So you go from love building trust to now authority is building respect. The respect that the children give to you because of the authority that you have within the home. And a lot of times, as you look at this, this is a time where we allow that 6 to 10-year-old really to run the house. We really kind of step back and let them be the ones that makes the decision. We let them be the ones that decide what they want to eat and what they don't want to eat. We let them decide what time they're going to go to bed and what time they're not going to go to bed. We let them decide. And so in that, what happens is there's no respect. There's no respect for the authority because there is no authority. And so in looking at that, that's kind of the introduction. What we've got to realize is in this cop stage, we are establishing authority and we're establishing accountability. We're going to establish authority and we're going to establish accountability. And what I want to do is I want to read for you out of the Bible in Proverbs. So if you want to take your Bible and you want to go to Proverbs chapter 13, in Proverbs 13, and it gives us a clear picture. I'm turning with you, so I'll let you get there as well. But in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24, what we have is we have that of the writer reminding us why we ought to be careful in doing this thing. It says this. It says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes, often." And what happens there is this. The scripture, now the scripture is speaking to us now, not this isn't my opinion. This is what the Word of God says. The Word of God is saying that you and I as parents, how dare us to be the parent that is sparing the rod. By sparing the rod, by not disciplining our children, what we're doing is we're telling our children we hate them. We care nothing for them. We're actually speaking as if it's out of the book of Hebrews, as they're illegitimate. They really don't belong to us anyway. Because a good caregiver, someone that has brought them up into that 0 to 5, as you come into this cop stage, you remember, love has built trust. So you have their trust now, and now what they're doing is now you're building upon that trust to where there's now respect. And without the discipline, without the rod of discipline, whatever you want to call it, it shows them that we don't love them. And I'm reminded of that as we look here. Biblical discipline is love in action. Just think about that. Biblical discipline is love in action, not anger in reaction. And so many times, our discipline of that of our children is really more of anger in reaction. And we're not thinking through, okay, wait a minute, what's the purpose within this disciplining? Why am I disciplining my child? What have they done? How can I do it in a way that is really going to help grow them? And I'm not doing it out of a fit of anger or a fit of rage. And really that's not how God does it. And so really, we ought to be looking at God as that example as to how we do it. Proverbs 19:18 says, "Discipline your son, for there is hope." There is hope in that of the disciplining of your son. Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to flip over there. In the book of Hebrews, and I'm looking forward, our pastor's currently going through the book of Hebrews. I'm looking forward to when we get to Hebrews 12. But in Hebrews 12, what we find here is we find, if you look in verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing also we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience," or with endurance. And so he's calling that of the believer, that's the child of God. We're the child of God. He's calling us, he's saying, listen, set that sin aside. set it aside so that we can run a race with endurance. And it says, because it's a race that is set before us. It's a race that is there. And God wants us to do it in a way that is really glorifying Him. It's really making His name known in the way that we run our race. As I say that, I remember many times growing up that I would be reminded often that I'm a representative of my home. And so as I'm out, by the way that I act, it reflects in the way and reflects of my mom and my dad. And it does. It really does carry that weight to the point that as now as a student pastor, as we go and travel, as we go into a whatever it may be, a Wendy's, or if we're going into whatever, maybe it's wherever we're supposed to be going, I always remind the students that as we go in, we're a reflection, first of all, not of the church. Nope. We're a reflection of Christ. And as we're there, we're going to leave it better than the way we found it. We're a reflection of the church, yes, but really you're a reflection of your parents. And so in doing so, we've got to be reminded that as this verse 1 says, set it aside, run the race. Why? Now watch what happens. Verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. See, if he loves you, he is going to chasten you because he's not going to allow you to continue to go down this wrong path. And scourgeth every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? It was foreign to Paul. He's saying, okay, I can't even fathom a father or a mother that is not willing to discipline his child. Because if he loved him, he would discipline him. Now, listen, all discipline is different. I'm not here to say that, you know, it's got to be with the belt or it's got to be with. No, listen, every child is different. And we said that in the caregiver stage. We have four children. Every child is disciplined differently. Every child receives a different style of discipline. Why? Because they're all different kids. But I will tell you this, there is discipline that takes place. Because why? Well, because we love them. But if ye be, verse 8, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards. That's the King James. You're illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. There's that respect. Shall we not much more be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. That's why God does it. That's why we do it. Remember, it's discipline that is love in action, but grievous nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And so we see then that the Lord disciplines the one he loves. We see in the book of Proverbs 13, verse 24, that the parent that spares the rod hates his son. Hate is a very strong word there in the scripture. Hates his son. And so therefore, we ought to be parents that are disciplining our children. A child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Or as you would want to say, a child left to himself really ends up being a feral child. And that is, they are just completely unhinged. They just rule the house. They rule the car. They rule the vacation. They rule every setting that you find yourself in, and you have no authority over them. So parents, we're not called. Listen, we're not called to be friends first. Although, hold on. I do know that our kids need friends, but we are not called to be friends first, but we are being called to be faithful guides for our children. We're to be faithfully guiding them in this thing called life. We're to be faithfully guiding them through that of what God's word tells us to guide them in, to give them the yes and the no, to give them the rule. Hey, here's a rule. Don't break this rule. Here, don't break this rule. Here, don't. And what happens is respect precedes relationship. Respect precedes relationship. Relationship depth in this phase. The respect that you and I are looking for, it really comes before the relationship. Because why? Because it's through your tough love that eventually they realize you do love them. Because remember, they have found a way to trust you in that caregiver stage. And so as we see the biblical foundation for this, what we realize is God's word, it is very plain to speak to us when it comes to us understanding the need for what? For discipline, for that foundation of authority to be able to take place. And so now we look, so how do we understand? How do we understand the child? What's going on with the child during this time, this 6-year-old to 10-year-old stage? And what we need to realize is children begin testing boundaries during this time. So if you don't have boundaries, what are they testing? They're just going about their own way. Children are beginning to test boundaries and they're understanding fairness, which is huge. They're testing boundaries and they're understanding what is fair and what is not fair. And that's big, because you got to realize something. Now that means that they are beginning to think concretely. And I want you to listen to this. You ready? They begin to think about how rules make sense when they're paired with reason. Now, I went up and I went and looked up this whole understanding concretely. So understanding concrete thinking at different life stages. And I'll just read this to you. This came from an article online. Concrete thinking is a cognitive style that is essential, there's that word, for understanding abstract ideals. It involves reasoning based on immediate experiences and physical objects. I'll read it again. It involves reasoning. So they're reasoning, y'all. That's where I told you. They begin to test boundaries. They begin to understand fairness. Involves reasoning based on immediate experiences and physical objects. As children grow, they transition from concrete thinking to abstract thinking, which allows them to make generalizations and think philosophically. This transition is a natural part of cognitive development as children learn to interact with their environment and develop the ability to reason and predict. Concrete thinking, then, is particularly important in early childhood as it helps children learn through their senses and motor skills. That is huge. It also is a foundational skill that supports the development of logical reasoning and problem-solving abilities as children mature. Understanding and addressing concrete thinking can be beneficial in various aspects of life, including education, therapy, and everyday interactions. And so here, during this time period, this 6 to 10-year-old, they began to see, okay, rules make sense when it's paired with reason. And basically what we're saying here is that it's lived out, like the article I just read to you, and I'll read that part again. It's lived out between experiences and physical objects. And that's where I told you at the very early on of this session, where Dr. Peterson made the comment that from that 0 to 5, that experiences, the things that goes on within their lives, the boundaries that is set, the rhythms that is put in place, all of that matters in the way that they begin to think. They need structure, y'all, to feel safe, but will push limits to confirm stability. They need structure. Structure is good, I promise you. At the time that you're doing it, I know it's a struggle. I know it's tough. Man, we've been there, done that. But man, as much structure as you can put into the kid's life, the better that kid's going to grow and that better that kid's going to be able to think the way they need to be thinking. Mental and emotional takeaway. They interpret correction as rejection unless it's followed by reassurance. Therefore, as you're disciplined, you're coming alongside, you're reassuring them of the love that you have for them. Now, I know it sounds weird, because I remember as a child, I can remember as my dad, yes, my dad, he did discipline me, and he did it well. My dad, I can remember many a time that I would get my whipping, he didn't just send me away and say, "Now get out of here, kid." No, he would whip me, and then he would reach over and he would hug me and he would say, "Son, I love you." And I'd go, in my mind, I'm going, that's weird. That is strange, because this man just took a belt to my bottom and now he's going to tell me that he loves me. I am completely confused. But remember, that's during that 6 to 10 year old age. That's where that mind is developing. That's where I'm understanding this whole, it's discipline that is love in action, not anger in reaction. And so during that time, my dad doing what my dad knew was right, and my dad was disciplining his son, and by disciplining me, he was showing me that he loved me. Now, you ready? It wasn't until I was later on in life, I'm going to say probably not even a teenager, probably in my early 20s, may have been when I become a father myself, that I would look back and go, I understand what my dad was doing. I see what he was doing. My dad was wanting me to grow up to be a young man that knew right from wrong, a young man that understood consequences for my behavior, a young man that knew. And see, that's the way our Father is. That's the way our God is as well. And so in this, what we do is we have to have this mindset. Number one, as a parent, because we know of their developmental stage, then we need to understand that discipline is for teaching, not controlling. I'll say that's so important. Discipline is teaching, not controlling. You're there to teach with discipline. That means, and I'm having to re-record this because the recorder didn't work, but someone said during the class this past Sunday night, they would have said these words, you know, after we were done, however they disciplined their child, after they were done disciplining their child, they would then use it for a teaching time. So now tell me, why did I discipline you? Well, I did. Okay, well, you disciplined me because I lied. Okay, good. Lying's a bad thing, right? Oh, yes. Okay. So, and hey, that's good because you're using it. You're not in a fit of anger, a fit of rage. You're not lost control of yourself. No, you're teaching, not controlling. Consequences teach cause and effect. That's another big thing we need to teach our kids, is that consequences teach cause and effect. Because you did this, this is what happens. They need to understand that. And restoration matters as much as correction. We must not forget restoration. We must come alongside because our Father does the same thing. Our Heavenly Father, He is one that restores us. He's like the good vineyard. He pulls up the vine, He washes it off, He puts it back up. So that why? So that it can produce fruit. And we should be doing the same thing as well, parents. So what do we do then? How do we set these structures? How do we, you know, when you talk about structures, boundaries, and consequences? Well, here's some areas that you can look at in your home. Number one, clear rules. Clear rules do matter. I'm a teacher here at the school, and I've also been a teacher at other Christian schools as well. And I've always used this analogy or this example. It's kind of like this. You come into a class. It's day one of the teacher. You're learning the teacher. The teacher tells you, hey, here's a list of rules that we're going to abide by in our class. And one of the rules, let's just say for the fun of it, no gum in class. And so therefore, everyone in the room, we all agree, okay, there's no gum in class. It's very simply played out. It's a rule that is laid out plain. I understand. No gum in class. And in doing so, what happens is that it is clear, but what happens is as we have that rule, we must also understand that as a good teacher, we have to enforce that rule. So what happens if little Sarah comes in and, you know, little Sarah, she's such a little sweetie pie. And so little Sarah, she's chewing her chewing gum and, you know, you just hate to get on to her. And so you let her have chewing gum that day. Well, the next day, Bobby comes in and Bobby the Beast comes in and he's got his chewing gum. And now you as a teacher, you go, hey, no chewing gum in class. Well, what makes that makes you a hypocrite. That makes you a teacher that as you've placed these rules on the wall, these rules don't mean anything. And so we as parents, we've got to understand that as we make a rule, we've got to hold the line on that rule. And so we've got to make sure we make those rules maybe 3 or 5 at the most. And you got to post them, that they need to be put on the refrigerator, or they need to be well aware of exactly what these rules are. Number one, here we go. You ready? Here's your good rule. Your room must be cleaned up on Friday afternoon. That's a good one. Or Saturday morning, once a week, however you want to do it, make it clear. And hey, listen, a 6-year-old to 10-year-old, they can clean their room. And so in doing so, we know that they can clean their room. And if they can clean their room, then therefore we're going to hold to that. Or here's another one. You ready? Clean out the dishwasher, or take out the trash, or, you know, just give them some, hey, you ready? No electronics at the table. I don't know. You know your family. I'm just telling you, make you 3 or 5 rules the most, and make them clear. Because remember, we serve a God that is not a God of confusion. We're not author of confusion. Therefore, if you make it clear at home, it's very clear when it comes time to discipline. We must understand, we must be consistent with our consequences. We have clear rules, we have consistent consequences. We must match the discipline to the offense. Listen to this, avoid idle threats. Parents, we're doing no good for our kids by giving them idle threats. If you do that again, I'm going to wear you out. And then if we never wear them out, or if we never take away whatever we say we're going to take away, that is doing them no good. Why put the rule on the wall? Why even state the rule if we're not going to enforce the rule? So therefore, it's during this time, this cop stage, you're teaching them just like it is. Okay, just like it was this morning. I'm coming to school. The ones that were riding with me in the car, we see there's a car that's pulled over. They've got a blue light behind them. All right. Immediately, the question is, I wonder why they're pulled over, Dad. And I would say immediately these words, they broke the law. Now, I don't know which law. Maybe they didn't turn their signal light on when they turned right. Maybe they were speeding. Maybe they crossed the yellow line. I don't know. But I can tell you this, the blue lights were on. There had to be a law that was broken for that car to be pulled over. And so we must realize we're teaching our kids there is consequences to when we break the rules. Through that, though, what happens is they learn to respect authority. They learn to respect authority, and we need to teach them that. We need to do that, though. But listen to me, parents. We need to do that not just at home in the demanding of the parent, of the child to respect the parent. What I'm talking about is how we have to model this. Don't catch yourself saying these words, not my child, to their teacher or to the leader or to whoever's in authority. Because what we do is, as parents, many times we subvert the authority, or we don't respect the authority, and we will take the word of our little Johnny before we even speak to the parent that is in charge, or the adult that is in charge, not the parent, the adult. And so we have to realize that, just as Romans 13:1 would say, all authority comes from God. And so here this teacher has authority over our child. And so therefore, if the teacher is saying that little Johnny is not acting the way little Johnny is acting, then we should want to go talk to the teacher and just have a conversation with the teacher and show respect to that teacher, instead of telling little Johnny that the teacher don't have a clue what she's talking about. We have to model this, because when we model this, what we're showing to little Johnny and to little Sarah is that, wait a minute, mom and dad respect authority. Oh, you know what? I should respect authority. I know I said in one of the earlier episodes that I will never forget the time I'm at Goshen Baptist Church. We just got a new pastor. His name was Pastor Tim Jordan. I'm running down the aisle. I'm a younger guy, probably 11, 12 years old, I guess. I don't know. I'm probably a little older than that by that time. Anyway, but I come up to him and I said, hey, Tim. And my mom would stop me and say, his name is Pastor Tim. And see, for me, while at that moment, it didn't seem like much. No, it's had an impact on my life, because now I'm 50 and I'm still talking about that moment of my mom modeling what respect looks like. And we need to be doing that as well. I've said, just within my time being here at South River, I've said in multiple meetings where I've seen the parent not respect the authority. And I'm not going to tell you how it went down or what. No, I'm just reminding us that we as parents, we have to model that, especially during this time of their lives. Responsibility and routine. Let them earn privileges through responsibility. As they are doing things right, may they show that as well. Okay? So there's four areas how we can do that. We can have clear rules, and with clear rules come consistent consequences. We also can begin to model the respect that should be given to that of the authority. And then through that, they will give that to us as well. And then remember, responsibility. With responsibility comes that of privileges. And also you have a routine. Some things that you need not to forget would be this. Number one, use the if-then phrases. If you obey, then you enjoy the reward. If not, there's a consequence. The if-then. If you do this, then this is what's going to happen. But don't let it be an idle threat. Also, parents, be so careful. Now, while I know there's times where it's good to set your child down and have a conversation with them, maybe that's the way you're going to handle it in your home, but having a 45-minute conversation or a tongue lashing really is not always beneficial. So be careful with those moments. Keep correction private, but always follow with affirmation. That means correct in a way to where everybody and their mama don't have to know about it. Although there is times where I assure you that at that moment, it's okay to pop that hand. It's okay to, but it's also good to give them the reassurance that is needed or the affirmation that is needed. I told a story this past Sunday night. I loved my Aunt Hazel. She was awesome. But one time we were sitting in church and our church bulletin, it had a pencil drawing of our church on it and had birds flying over top of it. And it's a lovely picture. Someone had drawn that picture, and that's what's been used on the front of the bulletin. Maybe it's different now. I know one Sunday, man, I was bombing the church, and I was bombing it a ton. And so, I think he was making some noises. So my aunt would have jerked me up. My aunt would have taken me out. My aunt would have given me a whipping. And then when I got home, I got a whipping. I think we've lost that aspect, or we've lost that bit within our culture. And that is that we don't want no one disciplining our children. And I'm not saying with, like my aunt, she wore me out. And I'm not saying that's what we do today, but we don't even want anyone correcting our children. I think that's sad. Because God's placed people in authority, and we must trust that authority. Now, listen, I also know that people do evil things. Adults do evil things. I'm not saying everyone should be respected or should be trusted. But listen, if you've got them at a school and you've got them there, you're putting some trust in that school, or you're putting some trust in that church or that youth group, whatever it may be. Keep correction private. How to lead in the cop stage. I think this is good. These are five things that we can do as we're leading during this time of parenting. We need to be clear. Children need clarity more than creativity in this season. Well, just be clear. Be clear with what you're saying. Be clear with how you're going to do it. Be clear. Be consistent. Inconsistency breeds confusion. Be consistent. That's where I tell you, bedtimes are so great. 8 o'clock, bedtime. Be consistent. Be consistent with suppers. Be consistent with if you say this, then this is what's going to happen. Do it in calmness. Never discipline in anger. Be calm. Be clear. Be consistent. Be calm. We call that Zen panic. On the outside, we got it all together. On the inside, let it fall apart. But remember this. When you discipline in anger, it undermines the trust that you're wanting from your child. Be connected. After correction, reconnect. We've talked about that. A hug, affirmation, a prayer. And be Christ-like. Authority is not domination, but direction. We need to have firm hands and a soft heart. We need to have firm hands and a soft heart. Here's a quote. Rules without relationship lead to rebellion. Love it. But love without limits leads to ruin. I'll say it again. Rules without relationship lead to rebellion. But love without limits leads to ruin. And what we have to realize, parents, is that they have been given to us. They are in our care. And what we have to do is we have to do all that we can do to grow them in the nurture and the admonition. We got to teach them the ways of the Lord. And the way that we parent is teaching them those very things. Every kid that is born a sinner in need of a Savior. Every kid needs Jesus. And it shouldn't just be left up to the pastor or to the youth pastor or to the Sunday school teacher to teach them who Jesus is. We ought to be teaching them who Jesus is, who our Heavenly Father is. We ought to be teaching them the ways of the Word of God through the way we parent, by the way we parent. And we parent biblically. We parent according to what God's Word says. And we do it in a way, I'll go back and read it. We do it in a way to where the season of this COP stage, the season where parents, we enforce boundaries, we uphold structure. God does that. God enforce boundaries, uphold structure, and then we teach children that authority is for their protection. Next week, what we're going to do is we're going to cover the coach stage, week five. We'll be looking towards that of mentoring and responsibility. Mentoring and responsibility. And I want you to know something real quick. What we got to realize is whatever stage you're at in parenting, it's never too late to do what's right. Please know that. I promise you, we did not do it perfect. We did the best that we could. We did what we thought was right according to what we've learned and what we would have read from God's Word. But even in that, we're not perfect. But what we've got to realize is as we learn and grow in that of parenting and the things that we can do, whatever stage of life you're in, you can still do what is right in that stage. And you can still do what should be done. Now, it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. Because why? Well, because there's already some bad habits that's been put in place for whatever period of years that you have. But I'm telling you, You can make that change. It'll just be tough. And so that's my encouragement to you. Don't let it be, well, we've done missed this stage. There's no point in doing this. No, don't do that. Go back, evaluate, see, ask those hard questions, and allow God to bring change to your home. Allow God to do that through His Word, through your prayer. Through your mirroring what it is that God is from that of His Word. Here's three questions I'll leave you with, and then we'll pray. How does your current discipline style reflect God's love and authority? I'll read it again. How does your current discipline style reflect God's loving authority? Number two, what boundaries in your home need consistency, not more rules? See, that's huge. There's things we're already doing. There's boundaries that we've already set. And what we need to do is we just need to be consistent in the ones that we've already set. There doesn't need to be more rules. I don't know. How can you build relationship immediately after correction? How can you do it better? Not how can I can do it better, but how can you do that? You as the parent, how can you build a relationship immediately after correction? And that's where the parent would have spoke up in our class and would have said that they immediately used that for a teaching time and a time to remind them why they corrected them so that they can grow. So let's pray. Father, we love you. And Lord, we thank you so much for this day. And God, we thank you for your many blessings. Lord, I thank you for this time that we've had to look in God's Word. Lord, to be able to look and see that your Word says, as we're reminded from Proverbs, the one that does not discipline or the one that spares the rod hates his son. And so, Father, I pray, may that not be so of any of us. Lord, may we be ones that we understand that we want to show love to our kids. And so, therefore, we want to discipline. And whatever that discipline looks like, Lord, may it be that we do it in a way that is love, that's love in action, not anger. Know that, Father, that we're disciplining our children in love. And Lord, we're just drawing them closer to you, Lord, in that of a relationship with you. Because we build that trust, Lord. We build those things that takes place within that of their understanding of a good father by the way that we parent as well. So we love you, Father, and we thank you. And all these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.